Hi, my name is Emily Hinckley, and I attended Sanborn Regional High School in Kingston, New Hampshire. I was introduced to Lead 'Em Up through our varsity basketball program when Adam Bradley paid us a visit during my junior and senior years. Lead 'Em Up allowed me to change my mindset and become a better leader on the court, in the classroom, and in the real world through all of the games and team-building exercises that Adam taught us during our sessions. I was also given the opportunity to start a green team club at my school, which allowed me to become more green myself, while also educating my peers on how to make the Sanborn community more positive and more green. I currently am a freshman at Husson University in Bangor, Maine, and I still use the lessons that the Lead 'Em Up program taught me to succeed and to always stay in the green.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Today, I'm joined by Coach Rastogi, our Northeast Regional Coach with Lead 'Em Up, to continue the conversation we had from a previous episode about captains. If you missed that episode from a few weeks ago, to captain or not to captain, we kind of talked through the entire process, that coach's process. Should they do captains? Should they not do captains? Is that something that you should incorporate in your program? And there are varying opinions about captains in general, and we talked about that in the various nuances and dynamics you need to think about and consider as you're processing that decision. But in light of that episode, a new topic, a variety, actually, Coach, of subtopics have kind of been created from that episode. And one in particular we're going to talk about today is, can underclassmen be captains? And this was presented by a coach that's within the Lead 'Em Up community asking this question, and it makes sense. It's something that another thing that coaches have to process. We get to the point of captains, and whatever your selection process is, let's say it lands you on an underclassman. Let's say that underclassman's a freshman or a sophomore playing on the varsity level or in a collegiate position, just simply a freshman or sophomore. And you're now faced in this predicament of, oh no, what do I do now? Like, do I give that title? Do I give that reins over to this person, even though they, quote unquote, haven't developed the experience, which you hear quite often? They haven't been in the program for a significant amount of time. They are clearly younger in age than some of their older counterparts on their team. So they'd have to then be taking on the responsibility of leading up, right? Leading those that are older and more senior than they are. And it creates this new dynamic where there's a lot of coaches that would shy away from that and say, well, we can't do that. We can't have this person. And even if the person is qualified, they will begin to kind of discredit and tell us the reasons why that person can't, because of all the historical reasons, the traditional reasons. Well, they're just not old enough. They haven't experienced enough. And it opens this conversation to say, can captains be underclassmen? Do they need experience? Does experience actually generate the level of understanding that leadership is built on? Can they be underclassmen and lead? This is an interesting conversation. Coach, I've got a lot of different opinions, like the captain title. I don't think it's a one-size-fit-all type scenario. I think there's a lot of different circumstances that you have to take into consideration. But I do believe when it is clear to players and coaches that there's a player who is worthy to be that captain for your team, assuming you're taking the captain role, assuming you do captains within your team, that if there's a younger player who has that personality, has those characteristics, has those traits, that character, all of that, that is worthy to be a leader, they should be a leader. Let's not overcomplicate it. They should be the captain. If everything checks off, simply their age doesn't work in their favor, that shouldn't matter. I think we all can attest to people being wise beyond their years, right? To, although being only 19 years old, yet they have a charisma and a maturity that is well beyond that. We've seen players like that. And for me, you know, we allow younger players, and it's not a question, we'll allow a younger player to contribute on the court. We'll allow a younger player to contribute on the field, correct?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Like, there's no one saying, well, our underclassmen can't be the leading scorer on our team. We'll allow that every day of the week. But yet, for some reason, we put our own filter on their influence from a leadership standpoint. And we say, no, they're not ready yet. If they're ready, then let them go. I believe that underclassmen can be captains and should be captains if they are worthy and deserving.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that there's a number of different things that have to happen ahead of time, though. You know, like we talked about in the previous episode, establishing the criteria for what exactly a captain does. Now, in any program where I've been the head coach, I make the promise to every player that at some point during the year, they will be a captain for a game. And that comes with the territory of being chosen by your teammates and all of that. We talked about in the last episode. But if you're doing full-on, like, year-long or season-long captains, and you have a freshman or sophomore, it doesn't matter the level, freshman or sophomore in high school, freshman or sophomore in college, if we can look past this idea that age makes the difference or that experience playing a certain schedule makes a difference, leadership is influence, the way we define it in Lead 'Em Up. So if that player has a repeatable positive, a high character influence on the team, and they have the respect of their teammates and people will listen to them and will be able to follow them, then we'd be doing the team a disservice by not allowing them to explore that role. It doesn't mean that they have to have it figured out, because the challenge that I would give to any coach who says, well, that's just not possible, are all of the seniors that you have leading the right way? Are all of the juniors that you have leading the right way? So what does age really matter? It's really more of, can they do that job or not? And what prerequisite skills do they have? And have we poured into them enough to build their leadership capacity? And so I know that there's a lot of programs, you know, especially at the high school level, that will name their captains like at the end of the season for the next season. And I actually think that works contrary to what we're actually trying to do, because you're assuming then that that leadership is fixed, where others can grow into the role and others can do more to become those leaders, especially if we're bringing in perhaps, you know, a freshman or sophomores that played on the JV last year. Who says that they're not ready to come in and take over that mantle? So I just think that there is a lot of pre-work that has to go into it, and your criteria has to be sound and all of that. But, you know, I don't think there's any reason, if we're of the understanding that leadership is influence, everybody can influence, therefore everybody can lead, then that should be an equitable opportunity if you're doing captains to have underclassmen be captains on your team.
I love that you brought up the experience and age dynamic that oftentimes is the prohibitor for people thinking underclassmen can't, right? Those are the two main things. If that were to be the case and those two things were so critical, then you would see this clear-cut upperclassmen having significant advantages than the underclassmen. Like, there would be this huge gap if experience and age were such a dynamic teacher in and of itself. Then this wouldn't even really be a conversation. It's interesting, right? Because a senior who's then older and more experienced should be so further advanced than an underclassman based on those two things. If those two things were the driving force, that it wouldn't even be a competition in the voting scale, okay? Mm-hmm. That senior would just be so far advanced. But the reality is experience and age in and of itself doesn't work. It's evaluated experience that allows you to grow, right? It's taking
intentional experience.
It's what?
It's intentional experience.
Meaning what?
So if I know that I've played on the varsity for 4 years, but I really have just kind of been there, right? We would say that a player has just been gray the entire time. Their experience hasn't really been intentional in building themselves, right? And if we're not pouring into our players, Lead 'Em Up, or if we're not doing the things to build that in our program, then by the time those freshmen now are seniors, they perhaps haven't developed, or they've developed by default because they've had to. Right? We don't want development by default. We want intentional development, whether that's skill development, whether that is leadership development, strength development, all of that should be intentional. We should have a plan for that. And so age and experience are going to happen no matter what. It's kind of like culture. Culture exists whether you like it or not. What are we doing in the daily climate conversations and in building those daily things that then leads to the intentional development in that experience and the intentional development of their age?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a little bit of a red flag on a senior upperclassman if you have questions about them being a captain. Okay, I mean, I think if there's a senior on the team who has been on the team for 4 years and you're almost putting them up against a freshman, I think that speaks a little concerning about the senior, where it almost leans me more to not want to do it without obviously knowing all the circumstances. But, you know, once again, the experience and age, I think captains, if you have doubt about a captain, if you have concerns about a captain, I think you shouldn't do it. Okay. You mentioned a great line in our first episode about you can't take the decision back. So for me, if there's a senior that I'm still slightly concerned about, that I have some red flags potentially from a captain's title, I actually don't want to do it. And I'll tell you why, because I think you set yourself up for major challenges because you're now telling the rest of the team that even after 4 years through this program, you can still have a mediocre work ethic. You could still have some questionable leadership skills and you'll still be okay. So you then take this model to the rest of the team, that the freshmen, sophomore and juniors are saying, listen, your end game, even if you're just okay, like so-and-so, that's okay over here. Right. Like, so for me in that setting, I would actually not want to do that, because any senior that I give a captain to, like, I want them to be so clear. I want it to be so certain that this person has it, because they should be representing the best of the best. At least with a freshman or an underclassman, I can speak to what I see and what we believe in the potential and what they're demonstrating now. But when you become that senior, you should be showing all the fruits of the years within this program, and it better be special, because if it's not, you're setting the bar really low for everyone else to say, this is what you should look at the end of your time here. That's how you should be performing. Got to be very careful with that.
Yeah. And so that's where I think it comes back to that intentionality. And I would challenge coaches to think about, and this is something that I've put a ton of thought into, especially over the last probably 6 years of being involved with Lead 'Em Up, is what are we doing daily to make sure that when a player enters our program, they know what the standard is going to be for them exiting our program. And either they exit as a senior and they have been prepared through what we do intentionally, building leaders through Lead 'Em Up, understanding standards, understanding values, all of those things, and building people intentionally, or they see the example that's been set. And this is where leading by example kind of takes on a life of its own. They see the example that's been set and they said, well, that's the bar for me as a freshman. This is what my seniors did. So all I have to do is be marginally better than that. And so what we do on a daily basis to try to raise that bar is really where if a freshman or a sophomore comes in and they have a high level of understanding of what we're looking for, and they have a high level of understanding of their own self-awareness of how they influence other people, how they get other people even to just show up to the gym. Sometimes that's what it takes. That might be the bar, is just getting people to show up to the gym with you. How can we then utilize that influence and push it a little bit further each day? All right, now, instead of just showing up to the gym, now you're texting film clips into the group chat. Now you're finding an article to share with your teammates, and you're using that influence and recruiting your teammates every day to that influence that is positive for our team. And really, that's where I see, you know, if regardless of whether you are a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, grad student, it doesn't really matter. That's the level of influence you can have over your program. And so if that's really all we're trying to do is lead in that direction, we can build those things intentionally, even in the recruiting process. whether you're a high school coach that has camps that you run or clinics that you run, or you're involved with the community youth organizations, those are the types of conversations to be having early so that when those underclassmen come in every year, they're a little bit more prepared to take on that leadership role so that we're not relying on, well, this current crop of seniors is great, but I don't know about the next one. Right. So how do we take that then and say, okay, this current crop of freshmen is great and they're going to be even greater when they're seniors, but they're also pouring into the classes below them so that when those next freshmen come in, they are better than the current freshmen are now.
Great thoughts. You know, the more I continue to think about this in preparation of this episode, the more I got to the point of, unless a senior is special, I don't want them to be the captain. Unless they are special, I don't want them to be the captain, to the point we just alluded to about that bar, right? That you're, when you crown them the captain, that's the bar you're communicating to everyone that you'll, they'll leave the program at. Okay. But I think there's a couple other dynamics also to think about, just to challenge this general thought process of age and captain relationship. When you have a senior as a captain, you also have to remember they're not going to be here in future years. Okay. So if they're going to be a captain on this team, I need them to be so special to make such an incredible footprint on this team and stamp on this team this year, because they're not going to be with us in future years. So like what they do in these next 6, 8, 10 months has to be that special. Okay. Mm-hmm. For me, I think that actually works against seniors. If you had to put the comparison, right? If I had to sit here and say, okay, all things are equal. One's a sophomore, one's a senior. Give me the sophomore, right? Because then, you know, them as a captain now, they'll have years to continue to grow, and this may elevate them at a much earlier age, and they're already right there neck and neck. You know, give me the sophomore now. I actually think that works against the favor of voting for the senior. I think there's dynamics you've got to think about when seniors have been with a team, and sometimes they've gone through many cultural changes within the team, maybe multiple coaches. Maybe there's been moments where the team hasn't been very healthy during their tenure. Maybe they've got some just negative tastes in their mouth from previous years or within the program. I'm careful about that too, because I think that sometimes can paint a picture and can maybe be demonstrated in a negative way to the team, where you'll hear captains say, you know, or seniors say, yeah, you know, it's okay. It's whatever. We've done that forever. Right. Mm-hmm. If we're not careful, that experience and tenure in the program does not always benefit us in a great way. You've got to really recognize, how does the senior view the past? How do they speak about the past? What's their perspective of the past? Because I've seen that time and time again where the senior, you feel like you can almost get by with things. All right, I'm a senior. We've done it before. And coach doesn't really care. You know, I know I've been there, you know, he or she's not going to call us out. It'll be fine. Things like that will come about in a senior's mind, whereas a underclassman, they're not thinking that. So there's some dynamics you have to consider when you just, before you go and just crown the upperclassman, it's not always your best bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say, listen, it's not one or the other, right? It can be one and the other. And so that's where I think it really is about the individual and knowing who your players are as people and what influences they carry with them. So a great example of this, my first year at W.T. Woodson High School, when I was a first year head coach, I had 6 seniors who had never had a winning season, had never won, I think, over 2 games. One had varsity experience, like true varsity experience. She played varsity as a freshman, and then, you know, she obviously played the next 2 years, but the other kids were hurt, or they played JV or whatever. So all these kids that had grown up together, great kids. And one of them, Mary Ellen Gill, I will never forget her. She was the consummate captain for our team, right? As a senior, she also was the only one who had played varsity all 4 years. And I remember specifically saying at the first summer workout after our first season together, y'all, Mary Ellen's not walking through the door, right? She's not walking back through the door to help you do this. And it was at that point that I realized how lucky we were to have a senior who gets it, right? Who had been through all that turmoil, but that was an individual decision to look at her and say, you know what? You possess what it takes to be a captain for our team. The following year, we had two sophomores as our permanent captains, right? Those two kids that had played on the varsity the year before and had been mentored by Mary Ellen and the other, I can't remember who the other captains were at the time. So I say all that to say this, that it doesn't have to be only the underclassmen or only the seniors. You can have a mix of both. But what I would expect from seniors, if they are captains, is that they are mentoring the younger players who are also captains, and that the role changes because you're right. They're not going to be there from then on out, but their legacy as captains, their legacy as leaders lives on in those other captains who are also trying to influence the people in grades below them and above them. And so I think about, you know, the challenge of naming an underclassman a captain. Yes, there's a stigma that comes with that. There's some undue influence perhaps that other players put on them. But again, we shouldn't be naming that player a captain if their influence is not strong enough over parts of the team that also doesn't happen. So we have to understand the vibe and the effect of that. And I think that's where a lot of coaches would kind of bristle at, like, well, it's expected that a senior will be a captain, so there's really not going to be that much turmoil. But you don't really know what's happening in that locker room, right? Do those seniors show up for voluntary things? Are they putting in time in the gym? Are they doing the things to influence their teammates the right way? So I think that's where it becomes an individualized decision.
So in that regard, you could be saving turmoil at the risk of standards.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Where like,
yeah, it's truth over harmony, right?
Yeah, like
harmony over truth in that way.
Harmony over truth, right? Okay, the senior is not going to ruffle any feathers. No one's going to be upset about that. It's not going to create tension within the team. But in return, I'm sacrificing the standard because maybe that senior doesn't have the highest standard. Where on the flip side, I go with the underclassman who's got a higher standard. I'm going to run the risk of potential tension on my team because now seniors are going to be upset, frustrated, possibly. But I'm going to focus on the standard. So under those two general circumstances, if those were the two cards you were managing, coach, which one do you lean towards? Keep it general, right? Obviously, there's specifics and dynamics. But like if it was just simply the standard versus tension dynamic, which one trumps the other?
Yeah, I think the standard has to win. Otherwise, it's not the standard, right? We've lowered the standard to avoid the tension. And I think when we avoid the tension, and here's what I'll say, there are certainly caveats to this. Every situation's individual. But the amount of coach speak that you and I hear all the time about the standard is the standard, and it's the same for the best player and the worst player, all this stuff. When the rubber meets the road and we have to make that decision, is that still what the coach speak is going to be? Or is there an excuse of like, well, I just don't want to deal with the tension. Yeah, but that unfinished business is going to come back to bite you in the butt in one way or another. And so I would rather we have that those moments of uncomfortability. I'd rather we have that tension in as a basketball coach in October or in August or September, then we have them in March, right? Let's get through it and let's grow through that. Because right now, what you're demonstrating to me is that you like what basketball brings you, but you don't like our team unless it's working for you. Mm. And, you know, those are conversations that I think most coaches are probably willing to have. Maybe one-on-one or with their staff, but to have the whole team in the room and really kind of facilitate this very tough conversation about what, like the outward appearance of what is being said right now is that you don't believe in our standards because you don't get to lead from the front and have the title. And somebody else who either has been voted by their teammates, has been voted by the coaches, or a combination of the two, or, you know, the application process that you talked about last time, if that player has been chosen through those processes and it's very, very clear what the role is, I mean, it's almost like getting a job, right? The job is the job. And you were chosen based on the criteria that was available and that would, that you meet. So I don't expect you to be happy that you didn't get the job, but be happy for the person that did, because that person is the one who's going to help push our team forward. And if you want to be a really great follower, that's just as much an important role as being the leader, because if the leader doesn't have anybody to lead, then they're not leading.
Yeah.
So you can make their life easier and make our team better just by being a great follower.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the one other benefit of having an underclassman as a captain, I believe even if an underclassman is a captain, even if the upperclassmen are frustrated or bothered by the decision, I still think they will lead throughout the season. I still believe you'll get leadership out of those upperclassmen simply by way of them being upperclassmen, where on the reverse, I think you actually suppress any form of leadership from an underclassman when you then award the captain title to the upperclassman. A little bit of a tongue twister there, right? But if I'm a freshman and, you know, there's moments where I want to lead, but I'm not the captain, I haven't been nominated, I'm not probably going to lead, right? It's going to be very cautious. I'm going to be very reserved in my leadership. I'm not going to try to overstep my bounds. So you then equip the senior upperclassmen as captain, but then you almost, you really kind of, you hold off the underclassmen until the future, okay? Like, your time will come, young fella, okay? But on the flip side, I believe you go and you nominate a underclassman and you give them that captain title, and not give it, but they've earned it. I still believe you'll get the presence of the seniors. You'll get their voice. They still will find moments to lead. You know, their experience is still going to be counted on. If those underclassmen do it right, they'll lean on those upperclassmen at times.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So like, you could almost argue that you will create a more full, all-encompassing leadership team with an underclassman. Here's a couple of examples. Let's take about, you know, I'm a Washington football team fan here. I live in Maryland, grown up Washington football team fan. And let's talk about two players. I'm just going to use these two because they came out. My favorite player right now in the NFL, without a doubt, minus Tom Brady. That's my number one. Okay. But right behind Tom Brady, Chase Young. Mm-hmm. Right. The standout rookie defensive end from Ohio State, drafted early in the draft. I mean, stud. So he comes into the Washington football team environment as a rookie this past year and was announced to be captain very early on. I don't know the exact timing of it, but it was very early on. You see, Chase came in and he had the respect of his teammates, his work ethic, how he showed up each and every day. The teammates respected him, but he began to bring this energy. He set this tone in the team. He changed the entire vibe in the room everywhere he went. There were fun videos of on game days in the hotel. He'd walk up and down the halls with a boombox on his shoulder, right, with music blasting, just kind of knocking on everyone's door, setting the mood for game day. He had this personality that just kind of fired everybody up. He did all the things you'd want to see a captain, a leader do on the team. He did it right out of the gate. Now, if anyone were to have looked at that and actually said, well, but he doesn't have the age and experience, so we're not going to go down that path, you actually would have been missing out on some special leadership from that player, right? Because I believe Chase had it naturally, a lot of it, was demonstrating a lot of it, but when he got recognized for it, it probably went to the next level. He probably felt empowered and more confident than ever before, and he began leading at an even more level. Now, I paid attention enough to see on that defensive side of the team that even with Chase as the captain, leading, running around, doing all the things he was doing, there were still many moments where some of the senior, some more veteran folks on the team, on the defense, still spoke, right? And Chase found himself at times sitting back, right? It doesn't mean because you're the captain, you lead everything, right? Right. But it created an incredible dynamic. Now, on the flip side, let's talk about on the offensive side, there was a player named Terry McLuhan, right? I've shared this clip on a variety of different Lead 'Em Up sessions. Terry McLuhan, wide receiver, star wide receiver, just finished up his second year this past year from The Ohio State University. This was after week four. The Washington football team beats Dallas. They're going into their bye week. And after the game, Ron Rivera, going in the locker room after the game as they're heading into the bye week, looks around and says, "Does anyone have anything else to say?" And Terry basically raises his hand and says, Coach, I got something. And when he begins to speak, he actually prefaces his talk by this disclaimer saying, "Hey, I know I'm only in my second year and I'm young and everything, but I just wanted to say something." I'll get to that in a moment, okay? He ends up going through speaking about how great of a win this was, how we need to take this momentum through the bye week, and how all the goals that we have for this team are still ahead of us and reachable. We can do all the things. And it was a short 45, 60 second talk, to the point. And what started out as a nervous conversation, you can kind of tell, right? I mean, when you put a disclaimer in there, you're kind of, "Hey, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this. Only my second year. I'm the young person in the room." It ended completely different. The team loved that he stepped up and said that. They began cheering. They actually wave him in to come into the center to actually take the team out of the team huddle for that day. Mm-hmm. As they go into the bye week, before the next game they play, after that talk, he gets nominated as the captain, and he actually remains the captain for the rest of this year. I want to talk about that for a quick second, because what happened there is potentially the opposite of what took place in the first situation with Chase Young. Terry McLaurin, in light of a moment where he felt convicted and compelled to speak, he did. He almost had to, he was almost fighting through these preconceived notions that young people shouldn't be able to do that, right? He almost had to put the disclaimer in there. He wasn't quite sure how his teammates were going to react or his coach was going to react, because there's still that stigma that younger people can't lead, or that they shouldn't, or it's not their place. Ironically, though, he has been expected to produce on the field from the moment he walked in the building. But yet, for some reason, there's a notion that the leadership side needs to take a couple years. But anyways, he fought through that, led, ends up becoming awarded the captain title, and leads in an incredible way as they go into the playoffs and compete and all that. And, you know, if you go and you study the team, the teammates around him were just praising him just all season about his leadership. And it, as awesome as that moment was, Coach, it does bother me, because it makes me think, what did we miss? Mm-hmm. What did we miss from him? There was a year and a half of him in the program where there could have been a leader, some additional leadership inside him just unleashed and ignited, that we suppressed him because we still believe that leadership was associated with age and experience versus care and character and passion and work ethic and all those traits. For all we know, he could have been demonstrating the standard higher than anybody else, but not being viewed in the light of having the respect of a leader being given to him through the captain title because of old school traditions and such. Mm-hmm. And for me, I just sit there and think, you know, Chase Young, as he goes into his second year, in light of what he was able to earn in year one, there's so much growth there, and he has so much future with the team, that, you know, I think it's a reminder that we can't let the age get in the way of greatness. And our team has the ability to be led to greatness by, at times, younger players on our team. And if we don't recognize that and embrace that and support that, we could be cutting ourselves short. We could be losing out on our full potential. These are two great examples of that playing out in real life sports.
Hey guys, this is Kayla with Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Over the years, I feel like the most respected leaders and the most respected team members at Chick-fil-A are the ones that hold themselves accountable to the very highest level of expectations. In fact, you might say that they don't even need leadership because they monitor their own decisions and they check in on their own work. They don't leave anything on the table. In fact, if they can do it better, they're going to take it every single time. It's this internal drive to do nothing less than their very best, even when nobody's watching. They know that this is what takes it to the next level. So the question is, are you fueled by an internal accountability for excellence in every decision that you make? Do you put in the same amount of effort when nobody's watching you? That's what great, respected leaders do. Now let's jump back to the episode.
No, I totally agree with that. And me being a Washington football team fan as well, it was really fascinating to watch all of that happen. Because on the flip side of that, Dwayne Haskins was named the captain early too. And that didn't pan out because of Dwayne Haskins. It wasn't anybody else's fault, right? So Terry McLaurin doesn't get named a captain. And ironically, all three of these guys went to the same school. They all went to the Ohio State University. And so when you think about that, Terry McLaurin may have been waiting his turn because internally he didn't feel like it was his place yet. And then finally, he worked up the courage and the conviction to say what he needed to say. And I think perhaps some of that is the externality of, you know, it's got to be an older person. I got to wait my turn, any of those things. And then when it finally becomes too much or you feel too much passion for what you are trying to say and you can't hold it in anymore, it's in those moments that you hope those cameras are rolling so that that is the springboard for that player. But I do wonder, by not allowing voices or by having a space or an environment or a climate where not every player feels empowered to have their say and have their teammates respect when they need to have their say, not in frivolous things, but in things that really matter to them, being able to create that space for a younger player to do that matters in a big way.
And that's why
it matters in a such a big way.
And that's why the environment, the culture of the team, and why we preach so heavily and lead them up that, you know, we're kind of split at times on captains, right? Because we believe the team needs to be growing as leaders, right? It builds on the concept of rotational leadership, that really everybody needs to play a role in this process. And there will be times where this person needs to step up and lead and everyone else needs to sit back and listen. And then another moment where this person leads and everyone else needs to honor and respect that person. That's a great point. I will say this, and you brought up something very interesting when you brought up Dwayne Haskins. Not going to speak on him specifically, but I will speak on the surrounding thought process, because I think there's a lot of coaches that may believe that Dwayne Haskins, top pick, quarterback, we needed him in many ways to become the face of the franchise. They were counting on it. Obviously, the quarterback position is so critical. And I think there are moments where coaches sometimes give the captain title, hoping that will change the character.
Yes.
You've got to be very careful. The character has to precede the captain title, okay? Like, we need the character to be where it needs to be. Then you get the captain title. We can't run the risk of doing it the other way. And believe me, they do, right? They hope that captain title will take someone who's on the fence of our standards. And we hope that it'll propel them. And we'll think about that small example of a story that we hear one time of it happening in a good way, right? There's always an exception. Okay. Well, I remember hearing this one story about, you know, this one player who, you know, was dealing with some trouble in their life. They gave him the captain title and it changed his life, right? You know, I don't think we should build our programs based on the stories of outliers, okay? We shouldn't base our future on exceptions to the rule. You know, the reality is character has to precede the captain. We can't allow and hope that the captain title will change that and get them to be something that they currently aren't. Although it could happen, we can't run that risk because you jeopardize your standard. You were shaking your head as in agreement when I was saying that. What about that gets you, Coach?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, I've seen it happen a number of times in other programs, not programs I've been affiliated with, but other programs where we place a lot of hope on things that we haven't been intentional about. And I just think that there's so many things, there's so many variables that go into our success as a program. And, you know, you can frame success however you want. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, winning championships or anything like that. I think that's a small part of it. I think there's every other element to success as well that gets overlooked because we might see the fruits of that for a long time, right? When our players go out and become people in the world and the whole thing. But I think increasingly, as we've gotten to a place where captaincy is sort of an expectation when you are an upperclassman and you have to wait your turn and all of these things, I think honestly that is a bit of a disingenuous and sort of antiquated trope. And that we can look at this from an individual aspect. And this is what I would challenge coaches to do in creating some equity and leadership in their program. Understand and assess the needs, not just of your program, but the people in your program, the individual people in your program, and see where those influences are coming from. And if they're all coming from upperclassmen, great. That means you have some awesome upperclassmen. Or if it's negative influences, then you don't. Right. But really getting to know, instead of brushing off underclassmen and saying you have to wait your turn or it's not your time yet, take a different approach and really see if that individual player or that individual person on your team actually has the influence that we've been looking for all along. Because if you think about the story you told about Terry McLaurin and Chase Young probably would have been that guy, whether or not he had the captain title, because that's who he is. Now, once that was sort of that tacit permission to be who you are by getting the captain title, great. Now he has carte blanche to be who he is. Whereas Terry McLaurin, maybe he doesn't want the captain title, right? And that's part of the other thing too. Maybe there are upperclassmen on your team that you're expecting to be captains and to expecting to want it, and they don't. Because the pressure of being the captain is not for them. They can lead, they can influence, but they don't also need this other stigma that comes with that. And you might have an underclassman who's just chomping at the bit, and you know that they have great intentions. You know that they're going to have a positive impact on the team. Let that be your North Star to say, you know what? Maybe you can be a captain because you do things the right way. Because you do influence your teammates the right way, because you do influence our program the right way. You're active in the community. You're active on campus. People respect you for who you are, and you're not pretentious about it. Mm. Right. So that humility part plays a big role too. Like Terry McLaurin, like, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but like, really, Terry McLaurin, you are supposed to do this. You're just as much a member of this team as anybody else. And so if we're asking everybody to be 2 feet in, if we're asking everybody to be committed and live our core values and live our standards, whoever does that the best, regardless of their age, regardless of their experience level, that person should have the equitable shot to be the captain if we're going to go down the route of captains. And the other thing I would say to that too is this, you know, we talk and lead them up about the six program. You know, I got your six, I got your back. And one of the criteria I think for captaincy should be whoever the most vulnerable player is on your team, right? Every coach right now can probably think of their most vulnerable player. Maybe it's a player that lacks confidence. Maybe it's a player that might have, you know, some mental health issues. Maybe it's a player who struggles with their playing time or has a rough home life or whatever it is. Whoever the most vulnerable player is on your team, who would you choose to be their six? And whoever that person is probably should be in the running for captain. Because if you would trust your most valuable or your most vulnerable team member to that person, then shouldn't it follow logically that you can entrust your whole team to that person? And that is regardless of age, that's regardless of experience. That is influence. Hmm.
That's a great, powerful question. I love that. Just to wrestle with that, and coaches certainly wrestle with it. You know, as you're talking, coach, really my takeaway is, you know, all the traditional thought processes and rules to captain titles and such, I think we need to crumple them all up and throw them out the window. Okay, all that traditional stuff of seniors and upperclassmen, and they've earned it just because they've been in the program, all that stuff. We need to take a fresh look, Alan, at it every single season. There isn't anything where you just get it by default year after year or anything like that. There really needs to be this evaluation of your current team and the current setting, the current character and standards of the players within the team, the influence being generated from each and every player, regardless of age, a sensitivity of the new energy coming into the team and its influence, okay, mm-hmm. and how that may shape and guide us and direct us, because, you know, that new energy is a real thing. It's a real thing. And there are times where new energy comes into the team and it grabs a hold of everybody. And you need to recognize that as well. So there's this understanding of just evaluating it year by year. And I think you'll do yourself a major service if you make it clear to the team that it is not an age award and that it's not a seniority award. So when we talk about the turmoil or the tension that it can maybe be created, is that because you've established the traditional hierarchy of captain and everyone on your team expects it to be that way? Is that why when they don't get it, they are so distraught because they felt like they were entitled to it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or do they understand and just think, okay, I get it. You know, I remember when I was a sophomore, we had a freshman, you know, like it's not a shock to them. So I think that's one thing that's interesting. If you think as a coach right now, you selecting an underclassman will create major ripple effects into your program, why?
It's a great question.
Is that because you haven't established that the standard trumps everything, that the character, you know, or that leaders can lead from all grades? Has it always been senior heavy? Has that always been the theme of your words and conversation, the daily kind of conversations that we're having? Has it always led that way, where we've always talked about our seniors carrying us and, you know, we need our seniors to step up and guide us? Like, are those little words constantly sprinkled throughout everything you do? So then when you go and you select a freshman, it's like, what? It shocks everybody? If that is the case, then maybe there needs to be adjustments of our conversation to move away from that. You agree? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think, you know, when we think about sport in general, you know, and you've alluded to this a couple times today, we will rely on freshmen and sophomores to play. We will rely on them to score or defend or whatever. Right, they'll have to do any number of things on the court or on the field or in the pool or on, you know, the playing surface to contribute to the success, quote unquote, the winning and losing of the team. And so we also then should expect them to contribute to our team's climate and to our team's culture. And it's really up to them how far they want to go with that and how far we want them to go with that. We would never tell a player who's really a good shooter, hey, you're a freshman, don't shoot. We need the seniors to shoot.
Yeah.
Right? We would never tell our freshman quarterback who we're relying to, you know, help us. We would never tell them, hey, don't throw the ball to that freshman over there. You got to throw it only to the seniors. Right? We would never do that because we want to win. So similarly, the one thing we can never compromise on is the leadership within our program. So why would we then, whether it's explicitly or implicitly through our discussions like you talked about, tell those freshmen too, hey, don't lead. That's only the senior's job. We shouldn't. We would never do that. But it's very possible through the culture and the climate that we've created, just based on innocuous conversation, that is the messaging to those individuals is like, hey, we'll talk about you when you're their age. We'll talk about you when you've played 4 years here. Well, then do I just have to wait to be talked about? Do I just have to wait to influence? Do I just have to wait to lead? Because I have good ideas too. right? Like I have good ideas. I think I can help our program do X, Y, Z.
Imagine the conversation, a coach, if you were sitting down with a incoming freshman on the collegiate level, and whether the player asked the coach or the coach brought it up to the player, like what if the topic of being a captain that freshman year got brought up on, like in one of those entry beginning conversations?
I mean, shoot, think about it on a recruiting visit. Right? When a player comes to XYZ University, hey, let's have this conversation. What would you do if we named you a captain?
This year.
You know, what would you do? And, you know, some of them might say, well, I would definitely, you know, poop my pants. And then some of them would say, no, coach, that'd be great. I would love to do that. And then you can get into that conversation. Well, what would you do if we named you captain of the team as a freshman? How would you go about leading our team?
What an incredible empowerment out of the gate, where you are establishing from day one, like leadership can come from anywhere, from anyone at any time. We'll talk about it right here. You know, we'll talk about it on day one. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have that ability to come in and set the tone for this team and to influence this group in a positive manner by how you show up each and every day and how you interact, we'll talk about it right now. And, sure. But no coaches talk like that. That's never brought up in a early conversation like that.
I mean, but it should. It should be, right? And so I think about Mike Nabors, who I think the summer before Kelsey Plum's freshman year at Washington named her a captain as a freshman. Now, I don't know the circumstances behind that. I'm sure there's articles about it. But, you know, I heard him talk at a PGC Glacier clinic back when I lived in D.C., and that was what he talked about. He said, listen, our kids just had to get over it. Kelsey came in and she raised the standard in our program as a freshman. And so I would never, never have forgiven myself had I not named her a captain, because she was exactly what we were looking for and she was going to elevate everybody else. And so I think that's a brilliant question to ask any of the incoming freshmen. Hey, how are you going to lead this team?
Yeah, I love that question.
If we named you captain tomorrow, what would be the first three things you would do? And if the answer isn't what you're looking for, you can't blame the kid or cross him off your list, but that's a chance for you then to have a deeper conversation and educate about leadership in our program.
And you know,
and
what you
about what we're looking for.
And you know what you would learn in that process? You would learn how their previous coach handled captains and leadership as well. If you get a player that's like shocked in disbelief that that question would even get brought up, mm-hmm. there's a good chance they are coming from a program that had this heavily focused senior upperclassman mindset, right? Yeah. Where like, they're like, wow, you're asking me, I'm only a freshman, compared to a program where everybody really is empowered and their voice is encouraged to be heard. And, you know, maybe they came from a team where there was a sophomore who was a captain, right? Where all of a sudden you'll begin to see where their mindset falls on that. Here's the last thing that I have around this topic to discuss on my notes. Do we put too much pressure on the underclassmen by giving them the title? So I know we talked about experience not being needed, the age not being needed, but is the additional pressure unhealthy on a freshman, let's say?
Yeah, I think it can be, but I think that's also where you have to know who's in your program. And that's when I talk about equity. Like, we can't just blanket be like, all right, hey, all freshmen are going to be captains. Not some of them aren't built for that. Some seniors aren't built for that. It's about knowing your kids and knowing your players and knowing what their engagement and their motivation looks like. And so I think, you know, I think about it this way too. Like, if we are looking at, let's say we have a freshman class coming in of five, and this is, you know, at the high school level, and we know that we're going to have this Fab Five kids, they're going to make the varsity as freshmen, they're going to play a lot, the whole thing. We would have no problem talking to that player about their contributions on the court and putting that pressure, quote unquote, on them to perform on the court. So if that's what we're going to do, then I think, all things being equal, if we also are relying on them to lead us, whatever leadership looks like in your program, number one, they need to know that they're going to be supported. and intentionally developed in that. We're not just going to like throw them to the wolves. And then number two, if they don't want the role, then we don't give it to them because they aren't ready themselves. Like they don't feel like they are ready themselves. But then we take the time to develop them so that by the time they're a sophomore or a junior, that age part has caught up for them and maturity wise, they're ready to go. And so I think really the substitute for age and experience is the word maturity. There are some kids who are freshmen that are super mature. And a lot of that thanks probably goes to their parents or their environment, right? Before we ever got them. Some of that doesn't exist in freshmen. And maybe then they go through their freshman into sophomore summer and all of a sudden they grow up. Does that mean that they're the same kid we remember as a freshman who was cutting class or who was, you know, clowning around in the hallway or whatever? No, people change. And so being able to have a really good read on who's in the program, what they're capable of, what their potential is of what they could be capable of, especially in leadership. And again, I'll mention this again, like we will never compromise in our program on leadership. That's the one thing that we will never compromise on. And so if we're just naming seniors as captains because they're seniors, that's a compromise. And so I would challenge, again, those sort of those conventional thoughts of, you know, who's allowed to. Everybody's allowed to. It's up to you as the coach to discern whether that's going to be a positive thing for your program or not.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the pressure is too much on a freshman. I think if this freshman is in the running to be a captain, there's a sense of maturity within them. So much of what is impressing you to get you to this point where you're considering them is stuff that's internal, okay, of who they are as a person. It's their character, it's their work ethic, their discipline, their focus. So when I talk about the pressure of a captain, I'm not really asking them to do like, it's not like I'm like when they take on the captain role, it's like taking on an additional 6 credits in school, okay? Like you're putting all this extra weight on them. When you're giving them this captain title, you're basically, you see something in them that you want to see continue, just being them with some enhancements, obviously, and some more intentionality, but you're not like putting this significant burden on them. You're really just recognizing them for who they are, encouraging them to continue. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, the way you show up and the way you've been just interacting with everybody, getting to know everyone and holding each other accountable, all that stuff, like that's what we need. That's what our standard is. That's what we're looking for. And that is why everybody voted you as the captain. Okay. So like, let's continue doing, let's continue building, fine tuning, enhancing things like that. I don't think the pressure is significant. And I will say this, that if you do find the moment where you announce a underclassman as captain and the seniors are displeased with it to the point where it's now becoming a distraction from them, that tension and turmoil has risen. Hate to say it, I think it's kind of validated your decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely has, without a doubt. Without a doubt that, you know, when things don't go your way and you react a particular way, that proves kind of who you are, right? So I'm not going to give you as a coach, like I'm not going to bestow this upon you or juke the vote or whatever to get you to be a captain as a senior. If I know, if I were to give it to this other kid, you would be up in arms about it.
Yeah. Because what happens if I give you the captain title? So then you're happy there, right? Mm-hmm. But then I cut your playing time.
Sure.
Like, the behavior that you're demonstrating right now in light of not getting captain, essentially for not getting what you wanted, not having it play out in your favor, all this stuff associated with you. Okay. So you don't get the captain title. You now are frustrated. You're now becoming a distraction of sorts. You've quietly gossiped to everybody how you disagree with the decision and all of that. Well, let's say you were a captain and I did cut your playing time. What makes me think you wouldn't have done the same exact thing?
Right.
You now have put on display your character. the character traits within you that when things don't go your way, you're probably not going to be that great of a team player. You're probably not going to be that professional in your response. So I think there's also a lot to be told in that. And then on the flip side, if they don't get it and they have a chance to act that way, but they do the opposite, they actually step up. Well, great. Now we've got an additional influence on our team.
Right.
That's going to drive us in the right direction. So, Coach, very interesting topic. I really enjoyed this one, going really deep on the subject. I think there's a lot to consider, and I hope through all the different topics and ways we went with this that coaches were challenged to really evaluate this in a greater capacity. And I would love for coaches, in light of this, to possibly change their approach to captainhood altogether. Like, maybe you've never really had those conversations with underclassmen where you gave them a legitimate shot. Maybe this allows you to have those conversations, right? Maybe, you know, that traditional thought process, maybe you pull back on that and begin to open up and say, you know, let me check it. Maybe you are guilty of a coach of always emphasizing the need for our upperclassmen to lead us and carry us, and we're only going to go as far as our seniors take us, and all those statements of coach talk, as you mentioned earlier, when they come out all the time, maybe you need to pull back on some of that, right? Because it's establishing entitlement within your program where people think, I should get it. I mean, coach told me seniors are most important. A lot of good discussion on this, Coach. I appreciate it. Anything you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I mean, I would really just challenge coaches, and this is a process that I've gone through as well in my own practice, challenge coaches to really think about that vulnerability question and knowing who needs the most support and who you would put with them, and understanding that captaincy really doesn't have much to do with how good of a player you are. It's how you show up every day and how you care for the people around you. So, yeah, absolutely. I think this is a great episode.
Yeah, appreciate you so much, Coach. As always, we are Lead 'Em Up. Have fun. We'll catch you next time. Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.